Father, we give you the praise because of your grace and mercy. We give you the praise because you are God. We give you the praise because it is a privilege to know you. It is a privilege to be related to you. It is a privilege to be connected to you. Father, we ask that you receive our praise, honor, and glory for all the things you have said to us and done with us. Breathe upon your word today. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. Speak to us in ways we'll understand. And thank you because you have done it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord the praise. And please be seated. One more time, I welcome everyone to the service here tonight. And I believe that we will never remain the same in the precious name of Jesus. Tonight, Bold as a Lion, part 5, and this one is specifically the necessity of boldness. Why understanding why we need boldness? The necessity of boldness. Understanding why we need boldness. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1. It said, the wicked flee where no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We must understand why we need boldness, because boldness is righteousness. We must understand why we need boldness, because boldness is righteousness. We must understand why we need boldness, because it is righteous to be bold. It is righteous to be bold. It is godly to be bold. It is gainful to be bold. There are losses we experience when we lack boldness. So I am going to look at a couple of reasons why we must be bold. It is not just moving about with confidence or just looking like you want to intimidate or oppress everybody. That's not, it's far beyond that. We have a non-negotiable need to be bold. Especially in the world we live in today. We have a non-negotiable need to be bold. Why do we need to be bold? Number one. Boldness helps us go after the enemy to take back what is ours. Boldness helps us go after the enemy. On a general note, boldness helps us engage the enemy. You need the heart to fight with the enemy. It helps us engage the enemy. Go after the enemy to take back what is ours. In Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 14, Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He pursued them. Boldness helps us go after the enemy to take back what is ours. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 34 all the way to verse 37, David was recounting. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I went after him. It takes boldness to go after the lion. And in this case, it is lion versus lion. This is the generation of the lion of the tribe of Judah going after the seed of the roaring lion, Satan the devil. And I went after him, and I smote him, and I took the lamb out of his mouth. There are many things the enemy has taken out from us, taken from our knees, taken from our hands. There are things the devil took, because men who are bold enough to go after the devil and to say, devil, hey, stop there. You can't take this one. You can't take what is mine. You can't carry what is mine. You cannot take my possession. You cannot resist my assignment like this. You can't resist my ministry like this. You can't take this from my hand, because there is a shortage of such people. The enemy took many things and took it for good. Take your seat. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and in verse 1, David experienced his men. When David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And they are taking the women captive that they were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. David and the people that were with him, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. If there was no boldness, what they would have been left with was a weeping, a crying, tears. I mean, you can see a man like David weeping along with others until there was no more strength. You know, the kind of until there was no more strength to weep, until David looked at himself and said, wait a minute, what is happening here? In fact, the people thought of stoning David. Their hearts went out for their families. They thought of stoning him. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged, that is the aspect of boldness. He encouraged himself. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to bow. I refuse to sit and cry. Hey! I am here tonight because there must be somebody who must refuse to sit down and cry. I don't know what the devil has taken from you, has stolen from you, from your family, from your church, from your ministry, from your assignment. Nothing is too lost to be found in God. For the man that is bold, for the man who refuses to be depressed, nothing is too lost to be found, to be recovered. He encouraged himself in the Lord to start it. And he said, Lord, what am I doing? And God said, arise, pursue, overtake, and without fail.
arise, pursue, overtake, and without fail, recover. Listen, cowardice achieves nothing. Fear achieves nothing. Depression achieves nothing. Cowardice achieves nothing. Fear achieves nothing. Depression achieves nothing. But boldness recovers everything. Boldness recovers everything. Boldness recovers everything. Boldness recovers everything. And he pursued. And in verse 19, the Bible said, and verse 19, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered. He recovered how many things? He recovered how many things? I am here to announce to somebody in the name of Jesus, you shall recover all. Very, very soon people will look at you and they say, wait a minute, I thought they said you lost this or you lost that. I thought they have written you off already. I am here to announce there is an impartation of boldness that is coming upon you right now, that is going to make you run after the devil and recover what he took from your family, what he took from your father's house, what he took from your nation, what he took from your community, and tell the devil, I am taking it back. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. From my youth up, I'm very, very fascinated with people who are aggressive and bold at heart. So the stories of Smith Wigglesworth interest me a lot. The stories of Lester Sumrall interest me a lot. Lester Sumrall was in somewhere in the Latin American countries, and he saw a witch doctor who was pouring like blood in the mouth of a bullfrog, and he was passing. He laid hands on this agent of the devil and cast out the devil out of this agent of the devil, and he could not perform his witchcraft acts anymore. He delivered him almost without his permission. He went and held him and cast the devil out of him. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And in the night, as he slept in the night, suddenly his room came under some satanic vibration. Everything was vibrating. The bed was vibrating. The curtains were vibrating. Everything was vibrating. Until the curtain that is lying down like this, on the curtain left and stood straight at 90 degrees. Have you seen curtain standing? Curtain stood straight at 90 degrees. And Lester Sumrall stood up and he said, Satan, I recognize you. I cast you out in the daytime and I have not changed my mind. Get out of here now! Everything was still vibrating. Everything was still vibrating. Everything was still vibrating. And suddenly the vibration stopped and the curtain dropped and everywhere became calm. And suddenly he noticed that the bed he was lying on in the course of the vibration had shifted from the wall. The vibration shifted it away from the wall. So he ran through the window and shouted, devils, come back here. When you came in here, you met this bed on the wall. Push it back before you go. Hey! Hey! And the vibration started again until the bed was pushed back to the wall. He said, devils, you can now go. Tonight we are not just casting out the devil. We are asking the devil, put it back. Put it back. Return it back. Return it back the way you met it. Return it back the way you met it. Return it back the way you met it. Somebody say, return it back. Return it back the way you met it. Somebody shout glory. Oh, faint-hearted people, if they saw the vibration and saw the cutting on the wall, they will be looking for where to hide. They will be looking for where to run to. Not this rugged guy. And then other people who are more advanced will testify that they cast the devil out and the devil left. But the only thing was that their bed moved from the wall. That is not this guy. No, that is not this guy. You can't come and shake my room and move my bed away and you go without returning it. Hey! Hey! Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I prophesy an impartation of spiritual violence. I prophesy an impartation of boldness that will make you tell the devil, put it back, engaging the devil, engaging the forces of darkness in your father's house to repair what they damaged. Devil, you must repair what you damaged. You must repair what you spoiled. You must return what you took. You must return what you took. You must repair what you damaged. But I have bad news for the devil. For many of you here, the devil will pay for what he tampered with in your life. He will pay for what he tampered with in your family. He will pay for what he attempted in your life. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Tu estás aquí. Tú estás aquí. Tú estás aquí, hey! Lida ba 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 la ga ya la la. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Señor, tú estás aquí. Señor, tú estás aquí. Señor, tú estás aquí. 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 Señor, tú estás aquí. Tú estás aquí. Señor, tú estás aquí. Tú estás aquí. Señor, tú estás aquí. Señor, tú estás aquí. 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 Bajo shaka kada la 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 la. Lite ke pepora na ga la 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 la. Lite sete vela. I see a new release of the boldness of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
coming upon somebody, coming upon a family, coming upon a nation, coming upon an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a political leader. Hey!
Senior to Esther Saki. To Esther Saki. To Esther Saki. To Esther Saki. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Take your seat, people. We need boldness now. There are too many lost things that must be recovered. Too many things in the camp of the enemy that must be recovered. Boldness is getting more dangerous. Boldness number two. All right, let's look at the scripture first. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15 to verse 17. The Bible says, and David longed and said, oh, that one will give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he will not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he will not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. There was serious tension in the land of Israel. I want all of you here, pastors here, on these two rows, come forward. Serious tension in any cluster. No, not one line. I didn't say one line. Just, that's right. Spread. Those are the back, come closer, that's right. Yeah. And so, there was serious tension in the garrison of the Philistines. There was serious tension between Israel and the Philistines. And there was the Philistines garrison here, and the army of Israel was here. For one reason or the other, David wanted to drink water from a specific well. That well is by the gate, the well of Bethlehem. Right there. And before you can go to the well, you must pass through these people. Dangerous people ready to kill. Enemy forces. Right there. And David did not say, who will go for me? All he said is, I am longing. I wish I can drink water from that well. I am looking for water from this well. Like Jehovah says, I am wishing that I can get a multitude of harvest and disciples from China, and multitudes from the Philippines and from India and from South America. He was just wishing. And three mighty men overhead, come, follow me. And three people overhead the wish of their master. And they didn't say anything to David. You know what they did? What they did? These three people. They started their journey. They didn't tell David anything. And they just began. All you need to do is just to blast in tongues with me. Shige paparatata! And they carried the water.
and fought their way back. And brought the water to the master. Sir, you said you wanted water. We present this water to you. It has been achieved. And the master carried the water. And he said, I can't drink it. This is not water. This is blood. This is blood. It was your blood you poured. You just took your life in your hand and poured your life to get me water. Let me pour it away as an offering. This is sacrifice. I pour it back to this, to the maker. This is what God is looking for in this generation. This is what God is looking for in this time. That man is under power there. This is what God is looking for in this season, in this generation. The Lord bless you. All of you pastors that came here, you are not the Philistines and you can never be. Step forward in two lines. Two lines. All right, second line. Second line. Hold your hands. Two lines. Hook your hands. Come closer. It's okay. You're all right. Lift up your hands. For being used for demonstration, something comes upon you that will make you collapse every devil that has come after your life. In the name of Jesus. One, two, fire! Jesus. Mashikeke baba dagalagaragadagalagada. Let the freighter sit a freighter sudagalagadia. Lite papaya dagalagala. What does boldness cause you to do? Number two, boldness helps us to dare everything in order to fulfill the desires and pleasures of our master. Boldness helps you. It helps me to dare anything. To dare anything. To dare anything. To dare anything. In order to fulfill the desires and the pleasures of our master. If the master wants it, I dare it. If my master desire it, I dare it. If my master is longing for it, I dare it. He wants souls, I will dare any devil to go and pluck the souls. He wants revival in my nation, I will dare any devil to make it to happen. Boldness helps me to dare everything, to dare every devil in order to fulfill the desires and the pleasures of my master. Boldness helps me to dare the devil, to dare the forces of darkness, to dare the kingdom of darkness in order to bring pleasure to the master. You know, our master is thirsty. Our master is yearning. Our master is longing for several things from the earth today. But his longing has remained because bold men are scarce. Bold women are scarce. His longing over nations. His longing over communities. His longing over institutions. His longing over the church of Jesus. His longing has remained because men and women who are bold enough to dare anything, to dare any devil, men and women who are ready to take their lives in their hands and risk anything and dare anything, they are so scarce. Those who take care are plenty. Those who take charge are few. Those who take care are plenty. Those who take charge are few. Those who are ready, Masha Tokokopaka Takalabaga. Those who take care are plenty. Those who take charge are few. I don't know about you, but I don't want the longing of my master to continue. I don't want the yearning of my savior to continue unfulfilled. So I'm going to run. I'm going to dare the devil. I am going to dare the forces of darkness. I am going to dare anything.
In the village, people used to say, when they need to confront certain challenges and it looks undaunting, they say, I'm going to go. Does person die twice? This matter must be handled. Person, they die twice. Does person die twice?
When they say like that, that is the conclusion of the matter. I have already gone and I have already come. That is what I think that those people must have said. We are going to bring this water for our master at the risk of our life if need be. And they must have told themselves, out of the three of us, if anybody goes, are you okay? All right, no problem. Out of the three of us, if anybody dies in the course of this expedition, of this adventure, are you okay? Oh, no challenge. Let's go. Master must drink water, and he must drink the water from that well. Since he said it is that well he wants to drink the water from, he must drink the water from that well. It is not just any water. It is water from the well of Bethlehem. And we are going to get him the water, live or dead, living or dying, coming back without a hand or without a leg. He must get the water.
When we finish tonight, between now and tomorrow, negotiate with your master. Discuss with him. What are you longing for that you want me to dare for you? What is your yearning over my nation, over my continent, over my generation? What is the yearning in your heart that you want me to do something about? What are you yearning for? What are you desiring? What are you longing for? What is it in your heart that you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'm not talking just to pastors. I'm talking to Christian businessmen. I'm talking to political people. What do you want me to do in my nation? What is your yearning? What is your concern over my land? What is your concern over my community, over my nation? What do you want me to dare?
There are people that God wants to use in the business sphere, in the political sphere, in sports, in industry. And he's saying, this is my longing. This is my yearning. And you say, Lord, if it is your yearning, count it done. Consider it settled. Consider it settled. I'm going for it. I am going for it. Lord, know that you have somebody to count on. As far as this country is concerned, as far as this generation is concerned, as far as this community is concerned, as far as this city is concerned, Lord, know there is someone you can count on. If you want to get your passion fulfilled, you want to get your yearning fulfilled, you want to get your desires fulfilled, count it done. Don't talk about it twice. It is done, Lord. Thirdly, this scripture was 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 15 to verse 17. It's also in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 verse 17 to verse 19. Why do we need boldness? Boldness helps us. Are you ready for this? To take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. To take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. Boldness helps us to take a stand for God when it is dangerous to take such a stand. It helps us to take the stand for God. In Daniel chapter 5, chapter 3, and in verse 16, everybody must bow to the gods of Nebuchadnezzar, otherwise they die.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But even if he doesn't choose to deliver us that way, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Boldness helps us to take a stand for God when it is dangerous to do so, in the face of threat and danger. In the book of Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, the Bible said concerning Daniel, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Boldness helps us to take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. If all the Christians in this world will take the stand for God in government, in parliament, in the assemblies, in the business world, and take a stand for God, this world won't be the way it is. There are places where the people pushing ungodly laws are fewer than those who are godly, who are supposed to be Christians. Pushing laws that are dangerous laws. Boldness. You take a stand. Say, if I perish, I perish. You take a stand. Nebuchadnezzar, you want to push us into the fire? Push us into the fire. We are going there. Listen. And it has been discovered that if you refuse to bow, you will also not be able to burn. If you won't bow, you won't burn. They didn't bow and they didn't burn. Am I communicating at all? Some dangerous people against the devil have been raised out of here. People who are going to be bold enough. You mean that if I'm a Christian, you won't give me a job? Take your job. To hell with your job. I don't need any job that will make me to compromise. You mean I should change my name or change this or that before you engage me here? I want to let you know I am not only a Christian, but I am a dangerous one. I am a tongue-tugging Christian. I am a devil-chasing Christian. What else do you want? You want me to demonstrate for you? Zikalabagatagaras. Boldness helps us to take a stand in the face of threat. Many are not bold, so they operate like chickens. They chicken out. In the face of very, very little thing, they just chicken out. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I want every Christian under this house and every Christian connected to this commission, directly or indirectly, and everyone hearing the sound of my voice, God is looking forward. It is part of your righteousness to operate in boldness. There is nothing called righteousness without boldness. Holiness is not just about I'm not drinking this, I'm not wearing this, I'm not wearing that. Your holiness involves your boldness. Your righteousness involves your boldness. You cannot confirm that you are righteous until you are bold. Was that number 3? Number 4. Boldness helps us to take a stand. Even if you have to stand alone. Boldness helps you to take a stand. Even if it means standing alone.
Boldness helps you to take the stand when the majority of people are of the opposite opinion. Oh, that was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They were not the only captives of Judah. They were not the only captives of Judah. There were other captives there. But they were the only people thrown into the fire. Daniel was not the only Jew. But he was the only one who decided, I am going to open my windows and pray. So there are times where even fellow Christians may betray you. Where you are expecting others to join you in the same stand. You are expecting them to join you in the same stand. And suddenly you saw they backed off. They were too afraid to join you. They are too afraid to identify. And you know, it's not everybody that is wearing trousers like this or wearing suit that is a man. Some are chickens with suit. Suited chicken. Chicken hearted. People that are permanently prevaricating. Where they stand depends on the popular opinion. You can't hold them to nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? When you say, is this white? They say, what answer do you want? Is this black? They say, it depends on how you are looking at it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But the time will come when you will take a stand. And it appears like you are standing alone. By the time Jesus was on the cross, only one disciple was standing at the foot of the cross. Others have evaporated. The disciple, he said, Mother, see your, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. John the Beloved. Peter has denied sins. Thomas had disagreed since. Judas has collected the money and ran away since. The other nine, we don't know what happened to them. They were not sinners, but they were not bold. They had not gone to drink alcohol. Or go into immorality or anything like that. But they lack the heart. They lack the spine. They lack the backbone. Why we crush the earthworm is that it lacks backbone. Why you crush the millipede is that it has no backbone. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So I like you to be ready after this conference to take the stand, even if you are the only one in your office that has that stand, even if you are the only one in your city that has that stand, even if you are the only one in your community that has that stand, be ready to take the stand, even if you stand alone. I have been at many places in my life when I thought there was a crowd and you looked and there was nobody. Just one or two. I've been to places where I was the only dissenting voice. I was in a meeting about 14 years ago, thereabout, where it wasn't among unbelievers, it was among some Christian people. And something political was coming up. that was wrong. And there were one or two people who were of the opinion that it would be right. And I stood with flames in my eyes. I was younger than everybody, I'm sure there. When I spoke, the person who sat on it was very, very distraught. With what audacity could I? But when it comes to principles, I don't mind sentiments. I care for nothing called sentiment or even any other thing. And in time to come, the stand we took was proved. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Beloved brothers and sisters, this is what it means. If I stop here, I've already preached tonight. But the time will come when you need to be bold. And when you stand for God, He stands with you. When you stand for God, you don't stand alone. You may be standing alone in the congregation of men. But you stand with for God, He stands by you. He stands by you. He stands by you. To confirm that this stand you have is not your stand. It is His stand. Let us run. I am perceiving that this message will flow into tomorrow. Number 5. Why is boldness necessary? Boldness is necessary. It's needed to reject and react against ungodly laws and decrees. It doesn't matter where the law came from. If it is ungodly, and it is unlawful spiritually, it has the right to be rejected. Many people say the law, scripture said, be subject to all authorities, be subject to the law of the land. Be subject to all laws. And it's very, very important to be subject to the laws of the land so that nobody is a rebel. But I'm going to say this with authority. Daniel was an officer of government. The first vice president, when his government made the law that nobody should pray to another God. He decided that his spiritual conviction was superior to political position. His spiritual persuasion, his spiritual conviction was superior to his political position. So he took the stand of his spiritual persuasion, his spiritual conviction against political position, against governmental insinuations. He took a stand. This is my personal position, and it is scriptural. Any law that is against the law of God is a law that must be broken. For example, nobody should go to church. That law is a law that should be broken instantly. And it doesn't matter who made the law. It's a useless, nonsensical law. Don't preach from the Bible. Useless law. That is where boldness is needed. Where decrees are ungodly. Decrees are ungodly. Decrees are anti-God and anti the creator of the universe. The government owns the land. God owns the government. But I don't foresee any place here where they are making such laws. Am I communicating at all? It takes boldness to stand in the assembly, to stand in your executive committee meeting and say, no, we are not going to do this. Especially when you have an organization where they are trying to do products and things and some company policies that are anti-people. Anti-people, anti-God. Where they are trying to do fraudulent practices that profit the organization and deal with the people, with the common people. You stand and you say, this is wrong. Life is not all about money. This is rejected. You all can go ahead with whatever you want to do, but I'm not part of this. Do you understand that God will not hold you responsible for failing to stop an ungodly law? He won't hold you responsible. But he will hold you responsible for failing to vent your disagreement. If you see a policeman receiving bribe at the police junction, is there anything under heaven that gives you the right to go and receive the bribe and collect it from his hand? You may not be able to do that. Otherwise, it's a challenge. But you hate it with a passion. This is wrong. This must not be. And let God feel that dissent in your heart. Somebody say amen. Somebody heard something tonight, say louder, amen. Amen. So if everyone everywhere around the world will say this is ungodly. You see, because a lot of people are patient with many things. Anti-God policies, anti-people policies, anti-God laws and legislations, anti-people legislation, and people just keep quiet like it is okay. Even the United Nations have a human rights charter where you have the right to speech and the right to many things. But your right stops where my right starts. If you want to marry a dog, you have a right. But you don't have the right to tell me what to preach.
Yes, sir.
You don't have the right to tell me that I shouldn't preach everything in the Bible. That is my freedom of religion and freedom of religious practice. Yes. Practice your right. Let me practice my right. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Somebody lift up your right hand and say, Father, today I receive the grace of boldness at all times and in all things in the name of Jesus. Why is it necessary to be bold? Take your seat. What number are we? That is still the same with Daniel chapter 6. Verse 1 to verse 10. Number 6 is needed. It's almost like number 5. Boldness is needed to take godly actions. In the interest of God and his people at any cost, to take godly actions in the interest of God and his people at any cost. When somebody needs to act, when somebody needs to move, boldness is needed. The people of the Jews were about to be executed by a wicked man called Haman. Everybody was afraid for his life. The decree had been signed. But action must be taken if the people must not be wasted. And Esther, in Esther chapter 4 and in verse 16, he said, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I am bold enough to dare death and dare anything, but the people must be saved. That is boldness. When you say to the president of your country, Your Excellency, this is wrong. You can fight anybody, but don't fight God. Don't fight church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am going to go. I am going to take the risk. When you are acting for God, when there is the need to act for the kingdom and to act for God, when there is a need to speak on the behalf of God and his kingdom, boldness is needed to get it done. Am I still speaking to anybody here? Maybe I'll say tomorrow, we close today, continue tomorrow. When Jesus died, I told you, everybody had it. Now, John the Beloved followed him until the foot of the cross. And after that, everybody disappeared. Within those first 3 days, Peter must have been somewhere, having denied the master faster than the speed of cock crow. He said, the cock will crow twice. You will deny thrice. That is, you are denying faster. Peter is somewhere lamenting his denial. Thomas is doubting. He didn't die. Maybe it was another person they crucified. All of them. It was Thomas, it was Peter, and Judas. He has thrown the money down. He used the money to buy a burial ground. His greatest asset on earth was a funeral site where they buried himself. Sila, that's a message for another day. But there was one man, when everybody was running from Pilate, and running from Herod. Running from Pilate and Herod. In case they catch them and crucify them alongside. There was one man, his name was Joseph of Arimathea. In Genesis, in Matthew chapter 27. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea. His name was Joseph. Himself was also a disciple. And he went to Pilate. Now that word begged is the word demanded. And demanded the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded that the body be delivered. Who is he that can go talk to Pilate and place a demand? Hand me over the body of my master. Peter couldn't have dared that. John couldn't have dared that.
Thomas couldn't have dared that. Judas Iscariot couldn't have dared that. But a Joseph of Arimathea. There is a time when Joseph of Arimathea are needed for the church. There are times when the Joseph of Arimathea kind of people are needed for the body of Christ. They may not necessarily carry a lot of miracle working anointed, but the Joseph of Arimathea kind of people are needed to address Pilate, to address Herod, to address the rulers of this earth. To go where the apostles are afraid to go. And I am talking to some people in church right now. And when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ generally. God is looking at you and saying, are you a Joseph of Arimathea? Are you going to have enough boldness to go out there and speak when people are afraid to speak? Oh, shut up. And one of the secrets of this Joseph of Arimathea people, apart from the fact that there is an underlying boldness, they also have resource power. Resource power. It's a rich man of Arimathea. He has financial power. He has resources power. There is nothing that enhances boldness and confidence like resources. Do you understand? Resources, power. Power. Where you can talk to Pilate and say, Pilate, you know me and I know you. We meet at big people's meeting. Even though you don't know God, I know God. We meet at the community center. We meet at the town meetings, at the council meetings. We meet at the meeting for chief executives. We meet at the who is who's meeting in the land. And you know me and I know you. And none of these people can talk to you, but I can talk to you. That man you people crucified is my master. Give me his body. And I can hear Pilate say, oh, Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. Joe, you didn't tell me that this man was your master. Why are you coming now? You would have let me know earlier. I'm sorry for your loss. Please, I'm sorry. So sorry about this. Soldiers, hand him the body. And the body was handed over. The church has been oppressed because Joseph of Arimathea is not available. The body of Christ have suffered a lot of confrontations and hostility because people bold enough to talk to authorities in the land. They are busy dining and whining with the authorities in the land. I'm busy compromising in all forms. So when it's time to speak, they have nothing to say. They are sharing the bribe together. They are doing all the things together. So they are like toothless bulldogs. But if heaven is to bear all of us witness tonight, don't forget that tonight you heard that God is looking for you and looking for somebody who will stand as a Joseph of Arimathea. When I have any opportunity to talk with people in authority, I talk with them very frank and brutal. When they say, I have this for you, I say, don't mention. Don't bother. We have been to states where we did crusade and they try to give us one. I say, no, don't bother. We don't need it. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Not one, not two, not three. They sent someone to our hotel room in one of the states, in the southern part of this country. Big bag of money. that we want to use this to support your crusade? Government money? No, sir. Take it back to who sent you? The hotel. And he took it back, and the person in authority then, in the south part of it, said, how? He said, the man said he won't take it. I said, what? This is very strange. He said, yes. He said, why didn't you ask him to? He said, sir, maybe you can come and give him yourself. Why is that so? So that when it is time to speak, money has not closed the mouth. You know, it is good table manners not to speak when there is food in your mouth. It's part of table manners. Since there is food in your mouth. You can't speak. There is food in the mouth. Food fill them out. I prophesy to somebody here today. In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the resurrected Lord, I decree today the grace to be a Joseph of Arimathea in your generation, in your community, in your nation is released upon you right now. The grace to speak on the behalf of God, in the behalf of the kingdom. Receive it now. I will stop here so we can pray. Acts chapter 13. What number are we? Number 7. Acts chapter 13, verse 44-46. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God from Paul the apostle. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, what kind of man is this that the whole city is gathering to hear? Have we not been here all this while? We are the custodians of the law. We are the Jews. We are the Sanhedrin. We are the Pharisees. They were filled with envy. Envy. And speak against those things which were spoken by Paul. Contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it far from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Take note of this and then we are done tonight. Number seven. Boldness helps us to stand firm and speak out in the face of envy and opposition. In the face of envy and opposition, you are able to stand firm. You are able to speak out in the face of envy. You know what I'm talking about. When God begins to help you, many will begin to envy you. You don't know who is your enemy until you start seeing results. I think it's better to say it this way. You don't know who is your friend until you begin to see some results. You don't know who your friend is. You don't know who is your well-wisher. Because
there is a kind of result, you will begin to see that even friends will become difficult to be friends. If you are going to go far with God, be ready to lose some friends. Lost to envy, lost to jealousy, lost to confrontation. Hey! Many people are more comfortable with your adversity than with your prosperity. They are more comfortable with your smallness. When you are small, they are comfortable. When you begin to get big, they become uncomfortable. But when you don't have backbone, say, they are talking about me. They say, we don't even know what he's using. He's not using the power of God. It's not really true. How can a young lady say she's making millions? There must be a man in her life. She has some secret boyfriends. And your conscience is clear. And you are walking in integrity and in character. But they want to contradict and blaspheme and do everything possible. That pastor is not a genuine pastor. He's not preaching the truth. If he was preaching the truth, people wouldn't gather like that. He's just telling people what they like. That is why they are there. Nobody preached the truth like Jesus. Yet the people gathered in the wilderness. Hey! Yet the people gathered at the seashore. Yet the people gathered everywhere he was found. There are many people who have left vision. They have left the pursuit of purpose. They have left the pursuit of destiny. Because some voices, dissenting voices. And let me tell you, it is not only people who do what you are doing that will envy you. Failures will be angry. Whether they are Christians or they are non-Christians. They antagonize you as a reaction to their failure. They just, who is this person? What is he doing? Why are they, and especially in the age where we are in now, you see all tiny kind of people. Here you are, affecting Pagadian, and affecting the Philippines and going around. Here you are affecting Argentina and so on. You see one tiny boy who is unknown in the street where he lives. Nobody knows him. If you ask the neighbors on the street, they don't know anything about him. Say, who does Pastor George think he is? Say, I want to let you know he's not a man of God. Who does Pastor Mervin think he is? If you find out, it's one tiny guy somewhere. Has not affected an ant in his life. All these people, they're just using, how will you build a 10,000 seater church? And you say you have built a big church. Why don't you use the money and look for the poor to give? That is Judas Iscariot. Judas was saying, why didn't they give the money to the poor? And he was the one holding the money. In other words, why don't you give me the money to eat the money? Are you following what I'm saying here today? So they are going to... But when you are bold, Archbishop Benson in Dahosa said, he said, if there is any gift he has, if boldness is a gift of the Spirit, he has it. I can say likewise. I hear what I'm saying here. He said, you deafen your ears and thicken your skin. If you are going to make your mark on the earth, deafen your ears and thicken your skin to the voice of envy, to the voice of jealousy, to the voice of confrontation. Deafen your ears, thicken your skin. Is there anybody who is going to do that tonight? Shout the loudest, amen. The loudest, amen. The loudest, amen.
See, the Jews saw crowd and became envious. We are in the synagogue all these years. Nobody, no crowd gathered. Who is this stranger that just came into town? Saw crowd and became envious. If you don't want envy, avoid results. If you don't want to position, avoid manifestations. If you don't want to position, if you don't want to be talked about, if you don't want to be talked against, avoid results. But if you want results, tell the envy, go ahead and hate me. Go ahead and hate on me. You may hate me, but you can't hurt me. You may hate me, but you can't stop me. Go ahead and backbite me. You know what they call backbiting? You know what they call backbiting? People backbite because they are at the back. And they have to remain at the back. Do you understand what I'm saying? They backbite you because they are at the back and they have to remain at the back. But the more they bite you, since you don't want them to keep on biting you, run. They bite you, move. Hey! Hey! Stand up on your feet where you are. You need to be bold. Don't be chicken-hearted. Everybody is talking about me. Everybody is talking about me. All the pastors don't like me. All my friends have forsaken me. All my friends in the office, they are talking against me. Just pass as if you are not aware of what they are doing. Once in a while, even surprise some of them. I bought this gift for you. Once in a while, I just surprised somebody. I just bought this gift for you. I traveled and I thought of you and I bought this for you. I just want to know, let you know you are in my thoughts. You are in my thoughts because I've been thinking of what you've been doing against me, but I know you haven't. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I proceed in boldness. The final one for tonight is associated. Take your seat 1 minute. It's associated with this. The Bible said, they told the people, since we came to preach to you, place that verse 16 on the screen for me. Verse 46. He said, they was bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from, we came to help you. You are resisting us. You have judged yourself unworthy of eternal life. For your information, you haven't stopped us. You have only redirected us. We are turning to the Gentiles. Which is where the ministry of Paul the Apostle exploded. Ministry to the Gentiles. This is the next point and we close here tonight. Boldness makes us unstoppable, irresistible, identifying alternative courses of action. Boldness makes you unstoppable, irresistible, causing you to identify alternative causes of action. That is, devil, do anything you can't stop me. Unstoppable. That was Acts chapter 13 and in verse 46. Somebody say, I am unstoppable. Say it. I am unstoppable. I am irresistible. I am indomitable. Somebody say, I am unstoppable, irresistible, indomitable. Say after me, say, the devil cannot stop me. The devil cannot stand me. The devil cannot do anything about me. Weak people are stopped. Bold people are unstoppable. Listen. How many of you think that the wind can be stopped? Wind. You put a roadblock before the wind. You just block the wind. What have you done? You have made more ways. It goes left, goes right, goes up. They stopped Paul. They tried and opened him up to his largest ministry. His calling was to the Gentiles. His calling opened by the resistance. Weak people end their journey with opposition. Bold people start their journey after opposition. You didn't hear what I just said? Weak people end their journey with the opposition. Bold people begin their journey after the opposition. Everything they did before the opposition was a shadow. Their real life and ministry begin after people try to stop them. You can stand up now. Let's stop here for tonight. Is there somebody here who is about to start his journey? You've been opposed. You've been resisted. You've been counteracted. You've been talked against and talked about. Is there somebody here who is just about to start the journey? What was the last thing I just said? Weak people. They stop their journey with the opposition. I think somebody came here to start the journey. Who is that person? You came here to receive the fire to start the journey. Who is that person? Paul the Apostle's ministry opened after they tried to stop him. Isaac found his place of enlargement. He dug a well, they stopped him. He dug another well, they stopped him. He dug another well, and then they pushed him to Rehoboth, his place of enlargement. Rehoboth, his place of enlargement, his place where he could no longer be stopped. I need a generation of bold lions. I want the nations, 52 nations present here tonight, to begin to confirm in various nations that a generation of bold people, unstoppable, no principality, no power, no territorial authority can stop their influence. For some of you, your nation didn't know about you, but after you leave here, in the course of this conference, by the time you return back, there is no nation that will claim they don't know you. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the believers, amen. Be upstanding if you can. Shut up. Be bold. Be strong. That was Ron Kenali. The Lord our God is with you. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord our God is with us. Tonight, I'd like you to pray out your heart. Let's go through these 8 points. Just place it on the screen. Why do we need to be bold? Number one, boldness helps us go after the enemy to take back what is ours. No, we'll read it twice. Start again. One, boldness helps us go after the enemy to take back what is ours. Again, boldness helps us go after the enemy to take back what is ours. Second, boldness helps us to dare everything in order to fulfill the desires and pleasures of our master. Again, boldness helps us to dare everything in order to fulfill the desires and pleasures of our master. Thirdly, boldness helps us to take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. Again, boldness helps us to take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. Again, boldness helps us to take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. Number four, boldness helps us to take a stand even if we have to stand alone. Boldness helps us to take a stand even if we have to stand alone. One more time. Boldness helps me to take a stand. I'd like you to personalize it now. Boldness helps me to take a stand even if I have to stand alone. Five, boldness is needed to reject and react against ungodly laws and decrees. Again, boldness is needed to reject and react against ungodly laws and decrees. Again, boldness is needed to reject and react against ungodly laws and decrees. Number six, boldness is needed to take godly actions in the interest of God and his people at any cost. Again, boldness is needed to take on God, to take godly actions in the interest of God and his people at any cost. Remember Joseph of Arimathea. Number seven, boldness helps us to stand firm and speak out in the face of envy and opposition. Again, boldness helps us to stand firm and speak out in the face of envy and opposition. Again, boldness helps us to and number eight, boldness makes us unstoppable and irresistible, causing us to identify. I want to qualify it. Say it again. Boldness makes us unstoppable and irresistible, causing us to identify and ushering us to our place of enlargement. Ushering us to our place of enlargement. Ushering us to our place of enlargement. When they resist you, those who are weak are stopped. Those who are bold start. Makes us unstoppable, irresistible, causing us to identify alternative course. Put it like a course, school course. C-O-U-R-S-E-S. Alternative courses of action. That's right. And ushering us to our place of enlargement. Our place is our place of enlargement. Somebody is about to step in there. Tomorrow morning we'll continue on this course. We'll look at the balance of it. We have about four or five more. And then we step into the next level. And then get set for a very massive impartation. There will be mantles impartation tomorrow. Very massive impartation of the spirit of boldness. Somebody will lift up your hands at this moment and speak to God with all the fire you possess. How many can confirm that God spoke to them tonight? God spoke to you tonight. How many of you thought that after the first night there was nothing more to say? Everything had been preached on the first night, right? Even the night before the pre-convention, that encounter night, the Monday night. If you were not here on Monday, listen to the Monday night's message. Alright? By the Monday night, someone said everything has been answered for him. I don't know what we'll be saying right now. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands now and say, Father, thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, I appreciate you for your word. I
receive a new mantle, a fresh mantle of boldness. I receive it now. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 7. So there is a spirit of timidity. I feel like calling it the spirit of cowardice. The spirit of timidity. The spirit that makes cowards out of men. Lord, I reject that spirit. I reject every spell of timidity. I reject everything that makes me not to stand when I need to stand. Lift your voice and pray after me and say, Father, I reject today every spirit of timidity, every spirit of cowardice. I reject now. Open your mouth, pray, pray. Today, every spirit of timidity, every spirit of cowardice, I reject now. I reject now. Thank you. the name of Jesus.